fighting for America.
I called Bob and Jani Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son, Bo, is coming home.
Fighting for Idaho.
5 years is a seemingly endless long time, but you've made it.
The ethos here, no one left behind, is true. Bo, you are not left behind.
Fighting for you.
And we would appreciate it if you'd stop by Walmart between now and Saturday at 6.
I just want to give kudos to the rescue missions in the valley.
And we would love for people to stop by and donate.
How grateful we are for these people who step up and really help those who are in need.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Welcome. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. We're joined by Stephen Yates, a man who has worked at the highest levels of government. Mr. Yates, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be with you.
You know, when I met you, you were out campaigning with J.D. Hayworth, former congressman for Newt Gingrich. For people that aren't familiar with what you do, what you've done, and to help your humble host along with the intro, tell us about your experience at the highest levels of the national level of intelligence, sir.
Well, one of the first jobs I had in government was to work for the now very, very popular agency known as the National Security Agency. I come from an overseas mission and I had foreign language ability and spent early years of the 90s working there largely as a liaison officer to other agencies in D.C. So my job was basically carry information from one office to another and give people briefings and updates. Later, I almost by a fluke, I achieved the notice of a few people in the Bush-Cheney campaign in the 2000 cycle. People might remember that was not exactly a clear and decisive victory. In the course of that transition, I was asked to come to the West Wing to talk with Vice President Cheney. And at the end of the discussion with him, he said, "I'm sure you'll make a fine addition to our team." And that's when I turned to the chief of staff and said, what am I supposed to be doing and where would I be working? And that was the beginning of 5 years of working in the White House as a deputy on the national security staff for Vice President Cheney, where the job was to do anything from sit in the Oval Office or the Situation Room in his place while he had to do the undisclosed location thing, to representing the office and negotiations and deliberations on policy with other agencies. Just a host of different kinds of experiences, mostly inside the West Wing and the broader White House compound, and from the prior to 9/11 environment through that shocking day all the way through the reelection campaign in late 2005, I left and set up my own consulting company that looks at international political risk for companies the way we used to look at it on behalf of cabinet members.
That's quite a handful, and you do it from Idaho.
Yes, well, you know, I found in the 5 years in the White House, most people were known to me by way of caller ID on my phone and by their email address. Even when they were only one floor away, a lot of our work was done by phone and email. After I left government, I realized a lot of it was being done similarly, and I said, you know, my family has, I have two brothers that have lived in Idaho Falls for almost two decades and been coming here on visits, and I said, you know what, it'd be a lot nicer to live there, and I could do a lot of what I do by way of phone and email, and I could just take a trip now and then back to D.C. or overseas as needed, and have a much happier life for my family, and so far that's really what it's been like for the last 3 years for the most part.
580 KIDO, Stephen Yates with us as we continue on. Mr. Yates, let's look at the Bo Bergdahl story. Here we have the story from the Telegraph today, a darker side. We've got the Michael Hastings piece being really the primary source of information based on emails he obtained from Robert Bergdahl, Bo's dad. Can you, from your perspective, before we get to the behind the scenes in Afghanistan, an area you know very well, kind of determine what's going on with this young soldier, and I don't think anything's been confirmed. Do we really know the details of how he left his post?
No, we don't know very much. There are a lot of stories in circulation now. Some or all of them may be true. I think one thing that is for certain is that you don't have simple and normal circumstances lead to a problem like what Bo Bergdahl's lived through for the last 5 years. We have complicated people and complicated circumstances doing things that haven't been well documented or explained. And it's going to take some time even for him to explain what happened. When someone goes through the simple trauma of living through a gunfight, they can have very inaccurate memories, sometimes false memories, and then later have recovered memories. Imagine living through the trauma that stretches on for 5 years. We're not going to have anything close to certainty about this for a good while. So I think it's important for people to step back and just say, it's unlikely that Bo is going to appear as a hero in all of this. It doesn't take anything away from the importance of leaving no one behind. And it's also not going to pull people away from questioning the terms of the deal that achieved his release, as well as questioning why did it take this long? Weren't there elements of this that could have been made sooner? Why did it take the Obama administration this long to get to this point? So I think there's just going to, we're at the beginning of a lot of questions. For the last few days, the priority, I think, somewhat appropriately has been on the human drama of, my goodness, here's someone who's been held by the Haqqani network in the Afghanistan-Pakistan border area for 5 years. And now we not only know he's alive, he's on his way home. At least the human side of that for the moment, I think, has gotten the dominant coverage. And we're about to turn the page in the media today with a lot of the other questions.
Well, we certainly hear the release of the email comments that Bob Bergdahl gave to Michael Hastings, God rest his soul. And then you have people that are already making assumptions. I mean, you're a professional here. That's pretty dangerous, it seems to me, to make assumptions about Sergeant Bergdahl's character.
Well, I think it's also unnecessary at this point. I mean, there's no question that Bo Bergdahl ended up in this circumstance by choices he made as according to the best information that we have. We just don't have a full complement of what decisions did he make, when did he make them, and how did this situation come to fruition. For all we know, he was someone who went to the beat of a different drummer and decided he was going to walk off alone into the hills, his intention was to go out for a little bit and then come back. We don't know any differently. It's also possible he walked off and was in a personal crisis and he had other motives. We just can't know that. The people who were with him are speaking out more now. They had been given somewhat of a gag order during the time of the search, but now that he is safe, they are taking the liberty to speak out and share their account. And they're also upset because if there's truth behind what they say, and that people died in the search for him. And so they have very strong feelings about the people that they know that whose lives were sacrificed over the long search that they conducted for Bo. So there's a lot tied into this. I think just the commentariat is primarily the one that needs to take a deep breath and step back and ask, what do they really know before they go too far off on one end or the other?
580KIDO, as we move along, is it legitimate to question the timing of this? You've worked at the highest levels at the White House, sir. Is it appropriate or credible to question that, remarkably, this has knocked the VA scandal off the front pages? Does the White House work that way?
Well, not every White House is the same. And we do have some White Houses that conspicuously come up with things that will try at the end of a week to dominate a news cycle. And the Obama administration has had its fair share of unflattering coverage that they've tried to shape. Now, it seemed as though at the end of last week, what they were trying to do to knock off the coverage of the VA scandal was to also have news coverage of the press secretary, Jay Carney's resignation. When it comes to this particular rescue, I mean, the normal process, assuming the normal one had been followed, is that there would be assigned groups within the national security apparatus, of course, the Pentagon and the military taking lead on this kind of a mission, but intelligence agencies would be a part of it. There's no question that the National Security Council and other elements of the White House would monitor, participate, sometimes even convene update sessions or coordinating sessions on what's happening with the rescue effort, what's known about his location, what's known about his captors, do we have options, do we not have options. there would be a very, very small number of people who would basically be cleared to know what the best information was aggregated together, and there should be, under normal circumstances, periodic updates to the Secretary of Defense, National Security Advisor, the President, maybe another short list of others. And that would be normal. We've had hostage and POW situations before. If you took hostages as an example, we had some that were kept in Colombia by drug cartels for a long time, and we did get periodic updates on their locations. It's very difficult to go into those geographies dealing with shady networks and trying to figure out how to get them out. That, I think, is the closest analogy to dealing with the Haqqani network, which is a criminal and narcotics enterprise in addition to being terrorist supporters. And in a terrible geography, trying to locate someone is maybe one of the biggest difficulties in the job.
580 KIDO, Stephen Yates joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. What do you make of Bob Bergdahl getting to know those folks very well, knowing their religion? He told me that personally. Knowing their perspective from a national security point of view, how would you describe his actions?
Well, I haven't seen anything quite like it in my experience. Now, no one has seen everything, so doesn't necessarily mean anything important that I have never seen something like it, but it's difficult to know basically what he thought he was doing. There's what he says he thinks he was doing, and some element of it is no doubt driven by the trauma of your only son being essentially lost for all intents and purposes. I mean, really, for much of the last year, it seemed like they didn't have proof of life videos and communication, and so it was very, very difficult for him and for his wife to know what exactly is the status of their son. He seemed to take this as motivation to dive very, very deep into his own studies of the network of people who held his son. He wasn't exactly getting reassuring feedback from the government that things were known and options were being explored and they may be acted upon in short order. So I would, for lack of a better word, there's probably an element of therapy for him in trying to dive deep into this, to own the problem himself and become the world's best expert on his son's situation. Now, he's gone farther than I think a lot of average Americans who saw him for the first time in that press conference in the Rose Garden. Will look at him and say, my goodness, what in the world is going on with this man? And they can't know because they haven't been with him on this journey for the last 5 years. But I have not seen anything quite like it in other examples. I mean, think of the Vietnam POWs who were captive for many, many years. You didn't have this kind of similar situation, but of course that was a different situation.
You know, this is a deal that, according to the Wall Street Journal, has been going on for 3 years, number one. But even Michael Hastings and I, who got access to the Bergdahls and had his sources and certainly was a favorite of General McChrystal until, talked about that this was a deal that I'd known about, the public had known about it for 2 years at least.
The contours of this really were not new. And it really came down to a few simple judgments. None of them are easy calls to make, but at the same time, you sort of have to wonder, why did it take multiple years to make the decision? You knew who the network was that had Bergdahl, and we knew that they had demands for prisoner releases from Guantanamo Bay. That they wanted in exchange. So your first level decision has to be, are you under any circumstances going to entertain this proposition? For a lot of people, that answer is no. That's a very tough call. It's brutal in the sense of what that means for the fate of the captive. But that's a legitimate policy decision and debate point in terms of American policy on national security, on military affairs, et cetera. It's not a new topic. But the other question is, if you're going to have a prisoner release in exchange, or if you're going to even entertain it, are you going to go with release of prisoners that are named of particular value to the captors? One of the things that's very odd about this particular prisoner release list is that those who were let go from Guantanamo are associated with the Taliban. Now, people can be forgiven for not following this closely, but the Haqqani network is not the same thing as the Taliban. Their agendas are not identical. And so it's very odd that the Haqqani network would release Taliban priority detainees. You would think they would have demanded some of their own, and there are some of their own they could have demanded. The other thing that they almost always demand is a large amount of money. There are a lot of details of this. The parts in this deal number more than two parties, not just the United States government and the Haqqani network. We have the Emir of Qatar that played some role. We have the government in Kabul that must have played some role. You have the Taliban that appears to have played some role. You have, of course, the Pakistani authorities with whom we have a, needless to say, complicated relationship. And so there are a lot more details that we haven't even been given the basics on about how this would have come about. I don't think it was simple in terms of the parties involved or the execution of the deal, but it came down to some fundamental judgments. Are we prepared to release people from Guantanamo Bay in exchange for the release of the last remaining POW in Afghanistan? And the Obama administration, after a very long time, 3 years might even be a generous estimate. They may have known that this option was in play 4 years ago. They arrived at this somewhat late, and now they pull the trigger on the deal. And time now that Bo is safe and will be receiving assistance, and I'm sure will be debriefed for a long period of time, and is not going to live anything close to a normal life from here forward. I think the questions now go back to what was the rest of the deal, and the scrutiny in this kind of a situation is inevitable.
Mr. Yates, can we have you for one more segment?
Certainly.
All right, more coming up next here. Kevin Miller in the morning. Okay, we've heard about Bo Bergdahl. What's next for Afghanistan, the graveyard of empires? And what does that mean for American security? We'll talk about that next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Now, from the Garrity Walmart, it's Miller's Mission on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm a prisoner. I want to go home. Let me go. Get me to be released.
I'm coming home.
This is a joyous day. He is now safely in American hands and will be reunited with his family and his community. It's incredible.
I'm so looking forward to seeing your face after these last 5.5 years.
This has been a process that has extended off and on over a period of almost 3 years.
Bo, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of your character.
We now expect about 15,000 people to descend here on Haley on June 28th at Hot Porter Park.
Good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Our guest, Stephen Yates, Chief Executive Officer, DC Intel Advisory, managing political risk, international risk, which is what he did in the Bush White House. Mr. Yates, what's the deal with Afghanistan? It's the graveyard of empires. We're winding down. We're still going to have special operators in there if we get the status forces agreement. Does our winding down, quote-unquote, have anything to do with the rush to bring Bo Bergdahl home?
I strongly suspect that it does. But just as we were alluding to in the earlier segment, I have to be mindful of what I know and what I don't know on this front. But really, within the Obama administration, from the very beginning, there were calls to just end the war. There was a policy review that was conducted at the end of the Bush administration, reassessing the strategy that had been used at the end, and giving options to the incoming team. And President Bush had instructed the team explicitly to be very open and flexible with the Obama transition team to make sure that they had clear input in the recommendations that would come forward so that it was useful to his successor, just the kind of guy he was. And then the President Obama in March of 2009 essentially adopted the recommendations of that transition report, but then immediately questioned them himself and by his White House team. And they went through many, many months of another review, lots of public statements that were uncomplimentary toward the leader of Afghanistan, which may or may not have been accurate, but it's sort of questionable if he's someone that matters to you and you need to influence. And then we had December of 09 is when he gave his first West Point speech that outlined his strategy, which simultaneously said he was going to surge troops and announce a date for withdrawal. And so from the get-go, there have been contradictions in how this administration has approached what used to be referred to as the good war. And so this tension, I think, has come to really a fever pitch at this point. The president just last week said we're going to keep around 10,000 forces in Afghanistan for a relatively limited mission. But really, what stood in the way of him even entertaining what had become called the zero option of withdrawal of all troops and officially ending our presence there has been the disposition of the last remaining POW. And so now with Bo's release, I would think that there will be renewed pressure within the administration, largely driven by politics more than strategy. But it's not just Democrats who have been itching for a zero option in Afghanistan. There are a number of Republicans that say if we don't have a clear mission, if we have a commander-in-chief that doesn't even identify Islamism as an enemy or national security priority, what exactly is the job of the 10,000 American forces that would remain? Is it just to protect the diplomatic zone? And if that's what they're there for, they're basically sitting ducks to be abducted or worse in the years ahead with no end in sight. And so I think that there's a lot more explaining to do about what our mission is going forward. It was not news that Afghanistan is a difficult place to operate. It was a mistake for the impression to be made that our mission there was to help them develop a form of democracy that would be something that resembles what our experiences here in the United States. I don't think that was ever the idea in the Bush administration, but it did get talked about that way a lot. We, of course, did celebrate the fact that they had a transition and that women began to get educated and make choices and even participate in the political process. We had votes there. And yes, there is corruption and drug trade and a bunch of other very unpleasant realities of Afghanistan.
Well, let me jump in for a minute.
Context, there's progress.
Let me jump in for a minute because this is something you mentioned Saturday, and it pulls at the heartstrings of what's wrong with the president's strategy. We have women, we have children, we have people that believed in us, began a Western education, which was counter to the Taliban's teachings. And what happens when we have, we reduce our presence to 9,800? Those folks are not going to be protected. We're going to see what happened, very similar to what happened to our Vietnamese allies in Vietnam after we left, right?
That's right. And then most recently, we had concern about the disposition of young women in Nigeria. And the group Boko Haram literally just means that non-Islamic education is forbidden or a sin. You had these Islamist movements that are very similar to what the Taliban is all about. Go in and basically punish young girls for choosing to engage in non-Islamic education, which in extreme interpretations mean that they were educated at all. And we've had tens of thousands, if not millions, of Afghanistan citizens, women, who have gone through and improved their lot in life by way of the education that was offered in the post-invasion period, which is far from a picnic, but it was much better for them. And leaving them behind, defenseless, is, I think, a very, very difficult choice to contemplate. But we don't believe in the military being a social welfare organization. But at the same time, there is something that's different about us as Americans, where we do actually care about places we have intervened and people making decisions on assumptions that were based on our promises. And keeping our word has consequences, and breaking our word can be devastating, too.
Mr. Yates, we need to have you back. I know you're busy running an empire, but we do appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Take care.
Yep.
It's our friend Stephen Yates, Chief Executive Officer of DC Intel Advisory, a group that makes sure that businesses know what they're getting into domestically and internationally. We appreciate it. Mr. Yates sharing his years with the Bush White House and certainly his study of the Afghanistan culture, people, and the behind the scenes concerning the Bo Bergdahl release. Your thoughts, Bo Bergdahl, was it worth it? Bo Bergdahl, was he a deserter? Bo Bergdahl and you next, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You're listening to Kevin Miller, Miller's Mission, 580 KIDO.
Must hear radio every morning with Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
This morning, I called Bob and Janny Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son, Bo, is coming home.
I'm so looking forward to seeing your face after these last 5.5 years and to giving you a great big bear hug and holding you in my arms again, never wanting to let you go.
For the supporters, the biker dudes and dudettes around America.
This is a joyous day. The fact that he is now safely in American hands.
Juan, let's go to Bill in Meridian. Bill, good morning.
Just wanted to weigh in on the Bergdahl situation. I've been thinking about it a lot. Every one of my family members for tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, you know, they to be out of the safe zone the way I think it happened, of course, this is all my opinion, but I just feel like he was in the wrong place at the wrong time against orders, and now we've opened up Pandora's box for people like one of my children that are over there as a security force that'll be open to being kidnapped and held for ransom. And that's just, you know, not a good thing. And I think it's just the kudos of this administration to say, look what we've done. You know, we brought Bo Bergdahl home, and we killed Osama, and look how great we are. And now they've jeopardized, you know, our future. And that's, of course, my feeling. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I welcome that. And I'll tell you, Bill, it's I think the story has yet to be revealed. What scares me, and I threw this at a couple people, you know, he went to his commander, and it shows you the outfit that he was in. If I'm a sergeant and one of my troops comes up to me and says, hey, do you mind if I leave? And the guy says, leave your night scope and your Kevlar, and I don't have a problem with you leaving. Well, that's a broader issue. If we right. go on to, on the stories that were going on, does that excuse what was done? No. I think the question here, and I'm being a sissy on this one, Bill, but the question is, 5 years in captivity, does that, let's say he was a deserter, does that make up for it, or should we have left him behind?
Well, again, what's going to happen in the future by, as I said, opening Pandora's box to other things now that the enemy has seen that, that you know, they can negotiate, and now we've got four or five killers out there that will kill again for one person who, in my opinion, and again, I don't have all the truth, and I don't know if the truth will ever be known, because I think the administration is going to try to cover up as much as they can, but, you know, what really happened, but now we've got killers out there that will kill again.
Bill, thank you for the call. Thank you for your service of your children. Thank you.
Thank you.
We go to Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning from the Gem State Patriot, and he's our gem.
So how are things out at the Kmart lot?
Well, we got Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. We got Reverend Bill. We got Megan. Mike.
You got all the good guys.
Well, allegedly. We'll just say that because they're here. When they leave, I'll tell you what I really think.
I'll have to come down there and visit with you today.
Well, bring the pepperoni. You know, that's the smoothies. That's what I love about these deployments with Tea Party Bob, but I digress.
You know, I tell you, talking about this today, I can relate to some of this. I was supposed to serve on the Pueblo, but decided not to re-enlist. But eight of my friends were on that ship, and they were held in Korea for 11 months. And there was a lot of sharp criticism of Captain Bouchard during the incident for not protecting his crew. You know, we all look at these things through the press's eyes, but not many of us have actually been subjected to them. It's good to recover one of our own that's been held by the enemy for so many years. You know, whether this trade was worth it, only time is going to tell. The president did break the law once again by not consulting with Congress because the exchange took place. But by the same token, had he consulted with Congress, it might not have taken place at all. I think we need to let things settle down, not make immediate or harsh judgments about Bo, as this is the job of the military to make those decisions. Bo should not be tried in a court of public opinion. We have procedures for misconduct in the military. If they find misconduct, they're going to deal with it in a military manner. But I do believe the president used this release of Bo once again to deflect from the sharp criticism that he's made, that's been made of him because of the deaths of our veterans that have had to wait months for treatment and died waiting. I'd like to keep our eye on the ball this time and not turn away and make sure that our veteran situation is solved and that those responsible for the death of our veterans are investigated and punished. You know, it's hard to imagine how many scandals this president has actually lived through. I don't understand it.
Our great friend Tea Party Bob, thank you. As we move along here at 580 KIDO, let's get you to work safely and on time.
From the Garrity Walmart, it's Miller's Mission on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO from the Walmart at Garrity. We're having a good time. We've got Terry from State College, Pennsylvania. We've got Reverend Bill. Terry, are you here to talk about Bo Bergdahl? Any thoughts real quickly or not?
Yeah, very quickly, this is a win-win-win-win situation for Mr. Obama. He can break the law, but public opinion, of course, is going to go in his favor. And, we're going to find out in the end what really happened over there. Until then, I guess it's just a kind of a wait-and-see. Debriefing will tell us a lot.
Well, always love your politically correct comments. We go to Reverend Bill of the Boise Rescue Mission, the voice of the spots that you heard this morning here at 580 KIDO. We can't do this alone, and we're urging people to stop by. We want to thank people that have stopped by already on day one, our friends at Airstream for believing in this. And I can't tell you at 580KIDO how much that means to all of us when you have people that say, you know, Kevin, you know, Reverend Bill, we want to make sure that you get what you need. We're going to do our very best. Here's an Airstream. Here's a sponsorship of this program you're going to do. You know, we talk about folks, but we don't thank them enough. We can't thank those folks at Airstream enough, our friends at Team Mazda, Subaru, that said not only are we going to support you, we're going to run some ads for you. These folks exist today.
They're wonderful people, Kevin. I'm glad you mentioned them all again. And don't forget Walmart. We're sitting out here in front of their stores and have barrels in all the Walmart stores in the valley today. It's just a great community. I've been blessed to live here for 12 years, and I hope I'll hear till they carry me off in a pine box.
They take you in a pine box.
I used to have a drill sergeant told me that. If I didn't pay attention in training, I'd come home in a pine box.
Yeah, well,
stuck with me.
You're going to be doing up-downs here in a minute at 580KIDO. Can you hold on for a minute?
Yes.
I believe this is James, formerly of Mountain Home, now in Garden City, who's been very, very much a champion of Bo Bergdahl at 580KIDO. James, am I right?
I actually am a different James, but I am happy that Bo Bergdahl was able to come home. I'm a veteran myself. I served in Iraq. I know that there's, controversy over the fact, how it was done, letting high-value targets go. If they were captured once, they can be captured again. I know there's also the fear of them going out and killing more. But at the same time, think of it from two different standpoints. One, his parents. Any parent wants their child back, would do anything they could. And that of, us in uniform, we would do anything to get a service member back. It's hell in those conditions. Unfortunately, I didn't have to go through captivity, but I had, POW, forefathers, that kind of thing, who went before me, who talked about the kind of conditions they were in. No one, should have to go through that. The fact that, we're able to get him back, it's good for him and for his family, and I'm happy for them. And hopefully it doesn't affect, the troops out there at all. But I know it's going to, look good for the Obama administration. I do, agree that he did it in the wrong way by not consulting Congress and going through channels, but people don't care as long as it, looks good in public opinion. But him and his administration, they're just Teflon. Nothing sticks to them. They can get away with whatever they want to. But, that being said, the fact that it was done and he's home, I'm just happy for him and his family.
James, thank you.
You're welcome.
Here, I thought we only had one James. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to traffic and then a final thought. All right, we'll continue on here at 580-KIDO. Reverend Bill, your final thoughts?
Just want to say thanks again, Kevin, to you and KIDO, to Walmart, Team Subaru, and the Airstream folks for putting this all together, and particularly for you, making this huge sacrifice in your own time, your personal life, to be here to help us out. And I know the generous people of the Treasure Valley will respond to that.
Well, I think this is where it starts. I think, again, who knows how long I'm going to be here. This is a crazy business, but as long as I am, I'd love to do this every year. So we'll see.
We'll look forward to it.
All right. You're listening to Kevin Miller. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. 580 KIDO.